The Waymaker 4. It's a real privilege and a blessing to be able to worship God. We're grateful for this sacred privilege. May all that we do and even the words of our mouth be for His glory and His glory alone on this morning. The Waymaker 4. In part one, we strive to nail the concept of God will make a way. In part two, God's glory, my first priority. Last week, keep your eyes on God. Recognize the enemy, but keep your eyes, fix your eyes on God. Today we come to part four. And for lack of a better subject, it's crying time. It's crying time. The Word of God shows us the direct impact prayer has on our circumstances and on the situations that we face. Moses practiced it. Abraham practiced it. King David practiced it. Esther practiced it. Joseph practiced it. Hannah practiced it. Jesus himself practiced prayer. And I'm not sure how you feel about it, but there's one thing for sure. No matter what you feel or think about prayer, prayer works. The question is asked, is man's role in prayer important? The Bible, God himself responds, absolutely yes. The actions of God on earth requires human participation. To preserve humanity in the flood, God needed Noah. To create a nation, God needed Abraham. To create, to lead Israel, God needed Moses. To bring Israel back from captivity, God needed Daniel. To defeat Jericho, God needed Joshua. To preserve the Hebrews, God needed Esther. To secure salvation for humanity, God needed a man. Prayer is not optional. It's necessary. If we don't pray, heaven cannot intervene in the affairs of earth. Which means you and I, church, must take responsibility for the earth and shape what happens here by our prayer lives. Jesus would say, men ought always to pray and faint not. Heaven depends on you and the earth needs you. Prayer has the power to transform lives. Prayer has the power to change circumstances. Prayer can give peace in the middle of stormy weather. Prayer can change the course of nations. Prayer can win the world, the lost, to Christ. When we come to the Waymaker part four, when we come to our text of Exodus chapter 14 and 10, we notice Israel has Pharaoh's army behind them, the Red Sea in front of them, and mountain ranges on either side. We, today, we've got a lack of leadership in front of us. We've got coronavirus on the left of us. We've got racial injustice on the right of us. We've got the devil nipping at our heels. So I stop by to share with you today. Consider, if you will, when we can't press forward, when we can't move sideways, and when we cannot step backward, what time is it? It's time to look up and ask God and pray God to make a way. In a time of uncertainty, the patriarch Jacob would say, we must get up and go to Bethel. I will build an altar there to the God who answered me in my day of distress. He has been with me everywhere I have gone. Find for me, please, and wait at Psalm 107. Verse 28 and 29. In 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 7, in David's days as a fugitive, listen to what he writes. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple. What does the Bible say in Psalm 107, 28, 29?
Then they cried unto the Lord.
Then they cried unto the Lord.
In their troubles.
Uh-huh.
And he bringeth them out of distress.
He brought them out of distress. Read.
He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still.
Amen. The storm became a whisper, and the waves were hushed. This is what happened. As the Israelites cried out to God at their Red Sea situation, except there, the waves became walls of water held back by an invisible dam. Let me share with you. I'm not talking about our regular daily quiet time prayer habits. As important as they are, and as necessary as they are, I'm talking about crisis prayer. I'm talking about crisis time prayer. Crisis, as you know, comes suddenly. It's not something that you necessarily anticipate or prepare for. Sometimes it takes a crisis to nourish and to stimulate growth in our lives. I'm talking about prayers of intensity. Prayers during life-threatening and soul-shaking events. Jesus would say, the only way to affect these times is by prayer and fasting. Pray long. And sometimes you just gotta pray long and hard. In our text today, Israel was in crisis. And their Red Sea cry was, notice, one, united, and two, let's use a compound word, urgent, fervent. Beloved, there is definitely something about praying with others that intensifies prayer. It even gets to the throne with greater velocity. I'm not talking about speed, because speed does not have direction. In velocity, it's the speed with direction. So our prayers, when we pray together, when we pray united, pierces the throne of heaven. When we read in Exodus 14, chapter 10, let's look at it one more time. What does the Bible say?
And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold.
They lifted up their eyes, and behold, or saw. Read.
The Egyptians marched after them.
Uh-huh.
And they saw afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord.
Then they got afraid based on what they saw. Read.
And they said unto Moses.
And they said unto Moses.
Because there were no graves in Egypt.
Uh-huh.
Hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness?
Back up to verse 10.
And when Pharaoh drew nigh.
And when Pharaoh drew nigh.
The children of Israel lifted up their eyes.
Uh-huh.
And behold, the Egyptians marched after them.
Read.
And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord.
And they cried out. Do you see it? You see it, right? What they saw caused them to be afraid. And when what they saw kissed with what they were afraid of, they cried out. There was one great united cry rising from about 2 million voices, piercing heaven like a massive, like a huge distress call. Find for me 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and wait for me there, please. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 8. In Matthew 18 and verse 19, Jesus says, again I say unto you, that if two or three shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Unity in prayer beckons an answer from God because of the togetherness, the oneness. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8, let's read again from the Word of God.
For we would not, brethren, have the ignorance of our troubles which came to us in Asia.
Read.
That we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life.
So here's Paul. Put your finger right there. So here's Paul feeling a sense of despair.
But we had the sentence of death in ourselves.
We had the sentence of death in ourselves. Read.
That we should not trust in ourselves.
Uh-huh.
But in God which raises the dead.
Oh, my goodness. You see that? You know, a lot of times I get careless. You know, I get careless, and I think that I can take care of myself. Paul said, no, read.
Who delivered us from so great a death?
Uh-huh.
And do it deliver.
Read.
in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us.
Right, read.
Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks many be given by many on our behalf.
All right, so in verse 11, you can see what's, understand again, please. I don't want to overlook, maybe it's just speaking to me so deeply, right? We cannot take care of ourselves. We need the help of God. In verse 11, he says, while you join in helping us by your prayers to aid, to assist, to come alongside someone and work with them. It's more powerful than individual prayer because it joins us together in a common desire to see the will of God done in a specific circumstance, in a specific crisis time. Now, God doesn't always say yes to all of our requests, but he listens with unusual attentiveness. That's a good place for an amen. When two or three gather in united prayer and God responds in his own way, on his own time, and with power and wisdom. Beloved, let me remind you, please, that the new Maywood Church of Christ is about 75 strong. What do you think will happen when at high noon of every day, all 75 of us pierce the throne of heaven, asking God, Lord, please bless us with strength in our inner man, so that we, our hearts, become the home of Christ, where Christ moves in and controls every room, so that we might experience the love of God and filled with the fullness of God every day at noon. Would to God. Can you help me, church? Can you help me, please? Every day at high noon, let us pray together. Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 21. Because there's something about united prayer that summons the unusual attention, attentiveness of God. And then there is the urgency, fervency. The urgency of their cry is plain as day, crystal clear. Because of the word that is used in the text, cry. And isn't it something how there comes a time in each of our lives when we got to get desperate in prayer? We got to wrestle in prayer. We got to stretch out. There's got to be a stretched outness in prayer. Kind of like what a horse does or what an athlete does as they get over a hurdle. An outstretchedness. fervency, a boil, a burn on the inside, an intensity that fuels our prayer to heaven in unity. They saw, they feared, and then they cried. Many of the prayers in scripture are called cries. It's a strong word. Find for me Mark 5 and wait for me, please. In James 5 and verse 16, the Bible would say, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous is powerful. Israel had never been more fervent. They'd never been more earnest. We're not talking about a religious ritual. They panicked. And prayer became raw and real at the same time. In Job 8 and 5, but if you earnestly seek God and ask the Almighty for mercy, surely he will move even now on your behalf. Notice the word earnest. Notice fervency. In Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 22, what does the Bible say?
And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue. Jairus by name.
All right, read.
And when he saw him, he fell at his feet.
He fell at his feet, read.
And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her.
Do you see that she may be healed. Do you see it, church? This version says, besought him greatly. Another version says, beg him earnestly. Do you see the boil in the prayer? In Luke 7 and 4, find Colossians 4 and wait for me, please. Colossians 4, wait for me at verse 2. In Luke 7 and 4, when they came to Jesus, the Bible said, they begged him, watch it, earnestly. In 22 and 44, Jesus being in agony, being in anguish, he prayed more fervently. In Colossians 4 and verse 2, what does the Bible say?
Continue in prayer. And watch in the same with thanksgiving.
Some versions would say, devote yourself to prayer. Another version says, continue earnestly in prayer. I remember, beloved, times in my own life. It ain't been that long. I was strung out on drugs and alcohol all at the same time. And it's funny how a song can make a difference in your life. The Winans had an album where they used to sing many didn't make it, but I was one of the ones who did. Y'all know about the Winans? And I got, man, that thing was tearing me up. And my wife, all right. And I prayed most of the night when I saw how I was failing miserably at being the spiritual leader in my home because of what drugs and alcohol was doing in my life. I had to wrestle with God in prayer. I had to say to God, God, if you don't help me, if you don't help
me. I am not going to make it. Sometimes you don't have to pray long. Sometimes you just have to pray hard and say, Lord, help. Just recently, I had to undergo surgery, major surgery, for the first time. And my church family was there to support me. But you know, when they rolled me into the surgery room, it was just me. It was just me. And I knew I had the support of their prayers, the united prayers. I knew that I had the supply of that. But let me tell you, when I got into the room, all I could say was, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. There was very little that I could do but plead with God. As I look back, I never faced a crisis when God, in response to fervent prayer, in response to earnest prayer, whether it was long or whether it was instant, that God did not make a way. You too, right? Come on now. You too, right? What does the Bible say in James 5 and verse 16?
The Bible says, confess your faults to one another.
Confess your faults one to one another.
And pray for one another.
And pray for one another.
That ye may be healed.
That you may be healed.
The effectual fervent
prayer. The effectual fervent prayer. The effectual fervent prayer.
Of a righteous man availeth much.
Availeth much. It can do some stuff that cannot happen without it. When God in his grace and mercy answered the cry of the Israelites at the Red Sea, it was not because they expected him to. Verse number 11. Well, read verse 10 of Exodus 14 and 11. One more again, please.
And when the Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them.
Yeah.
And they were so afraid, the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses,
yeah,
because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness?
Read.
Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?
They just finished crying out to the Lord. Y'all watch the text now. They just finished crying out to the Lord. But they're pointing the finger at Moses, blaming him because they think they're about to die. They prayed, they cried, but they did not imagine that God would actually answer their prayer. It's sad to say, loved ones, it's sad to say. There have been times in my life when by the time I finished praying, I was a nervous wreck. I remember distinctly, my daughter was adolescent and talking about going to Madrid. I don't mind her going to Brooklyn. I didn't mind her going to the Bronx. I didn't even mind her going to Maryland and some of the other places that she went. But to go to Madrid, I was a mess. And it was not because I did not pray. And I did not pray long and hard. As I look back, what I realized was my prayers had focused on my negative feelings rather than the assurances and the promises of my God. And I learned, and I'm still learning, a very important truth. Unless you and I plead in faith, our prayers can do more harm than good. How much better I would have been had I prayed the prayer of faith, or should I say the prayer of God faith? Wait for me at Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. I'll be there in a minute. Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. In Romans 10 and verse 8, listen to Paul. He would say, but what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. This is the word of faith we preach. Notice this text, Mark 11. Is one of the strongest passages in the Word of God that makes a connection between prayer and faith. Begin reading at verse 12. At verse 14.
And on the morrow,
when
they were come from Bethany, he was hungry.
When they were come from Bethany, what happened?
He was hungry.
He was hungry.
And seeing a fig tree afar off,
Saw a fig tree afar off.
He came. He might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves.
All right. He found, notice what the text says. He came to the tree. No fruit, just leaves.
Amen.
What did he say? Verse 14.
And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever.
Forever. Did you see that? Now, what did Jesus do? He used words. What kind of words did Jesus use? He used words of faith. Amen. When he spoke to the tree, he actively believed that the tree would die. Now, let's observe in verse number 20 what happened to the tree, the same tree that he spoke to. Verse number 20, what does the Bible say?
And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig trees dried up from the roots.
Dried up from the root up. Read.
And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away.
Is withered away. What did Jesus say? Verse 22.
And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God.
Now, faith in God is mentioned several times in the New Testament. This particular case, right? It literally, the literal translation says, have the God kind of faith. What, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying we ought to want the God kind of faith. We ought to want to walk in faith, pray in faith like Jesus did, speak words of faith, and believe in our hearts like Jesus did. When you and I face impossible odds, I stop by to tell you, to share with you, we need to pray unitedly when it's crisis time, we need to pray urgent, fervent. Are you getting what I'm giving out, church? Pray united. Pray urgent, fervent. And then trust the prayer answering God who grants grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. What time is it? It's crying time. What time is it? It's crying time. How is your prayer life? Every human being alive is dealing with crisis right now. Crisis is global, not to mention personal crisis. Whether it's crisis time prayer or quiet time prayer. As a church, I am pleading with God and with you. Let's go next level pray. It's crisis time prayer because it's crying time. Based on what we're seeing in the world, based on the fear that surfaces quietly in our spirit, it's crying time. Keep on quiet time praying and enhancing our fellowship with God. But next level prayer cries out for help in our time of need. Our Father, our God, who is greatly to be praised, we thank you for speaking to us through this word today. We repent, O God, of regular quiet time prayer only. Help us now. Lead us, O God, now to an effectual and fervent and powerful prayer life. Bless our home church and let it be so. It's in the name of Jesus we ask. With faith, God's faith, let the church say, amen.